Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, and attempting to discern the times so that we will know what to do. And, wow, these are unusual times in the history of this nation. And Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also with us today. Confused times. The President of the United States is not conceding the election. And Vice President Biden is insisting he has won the election, as does the mainstream media, including Fox News. Almost all of the mainstream media, I think, in fact, all the mainstream media has conceded the election to Biden. And yet the Republicans aren't willing to do so.
No. And not only that, but nations around the world have recognized Biden as the president-elect. It's interesting that he has also set up an office of the president-elect, which adds credibility in the minds of viewers and of those who go to that website that he is the president when the election is not over until all of the votes are certified.
Mm-hmm.
When the states certify the votes, then you can call it. And it may very well prove to be true, but it's a little premature.
The nation is divided, unlike any other time in this nation's history, all the way back to the Civil War. I don't think that's a debatable point at this point. Let me go back to some of what I call the old prophets that used to speak. And this is a bit of the last of the old breed. Pretty much most of the older prophets are dead and gone. As we continue to watch what is going on with the American socioeconomic structure, I bring in David Stockman and Paul Craig Roberts, both of which were active in the Reagan administration.
Oh, so they're not Old Testament prophets?
Not quite, no.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But they're very old.
Nope. Just simply guys that speak to the demise. They're guys who have a couple of data points. They're guys who've been in the slowly boiling water for a little bit longer than the rest of us. And as I see it, it's good to, you know, go back to the old prophets. And I want to do that again here with David Stockman and Paul Craig Roberts, both of which have something to say. But I've been a little shocked by what they have to say. And I guess at some point you have to turn to the frogs in the slowly boiling water and say, you know, it used to be about 112 degrees Fahrenheit. Now it's 211.8 degrees Fahrenheit. And we've upped it 100 degrees in just the last 40, 50, 60 years. I mean, you have to have something of a 40 to 60 year outlook to get the data points and to know what is happening with the frogs in the slowly boiling water. And here's David Stockman. He's 74 years old at this point, and he was director of Office of Management and Budget, 1981 to 85 for Ronald Reagan. Didn't realize he was there for the whole first term. But David Stockman's been dubbed the prophet of doom when he told America in 2013 that the nation is doomed. America is broke fiscally, morally, and intellectually. And then most recently on the International Man website, Stockman says, I would recommend recognizing that the everything bubble is the most extreme, exaggerated, severe financial bubble in world history. It will inevitably collapse, and there will be massive losses, even greater than occurred in 2008, 2001. These markets are so artificial. They've just been chasing what the central banks are doing. There's no honest price discoveries or supply and demand. Nobody's discounting the future of economic growth, productivity, and investment. You've got the chart monkeys, 29-year-old day traders who are in charge of the market. We have to recognize that the 30-year experiment in what I call Keynesian central banking, which is almost like central planning, is over. Therefore, the central banks of the world are going to be in enormous disrepute. They're not going to be your friends or your savior. Therefore, the Fed is the number one, the number two, and the number three enemy of prosperity, capitalism, free markets, individual liberty, and the wealth of the people in the world today. And remember, 80% of daily volume in the stock market is essentially either index-driven ETFs or various kinds of quantitative machine-driven investment strategies. If that ever breaks loose, the market will go through an air pocket, and then it's all over except for the shouting. Objectively, we are already fiscally bankrupt, and by that I mean the $22 trillion of debt we have today. That's the rearview mirror. That's what the first 44 presidents in American history have managed to accomplish, including the last two before Trump, who took it from $4 trillion to $19 trillion. But Donald Trump is the most reckless, irresponsible president we've had since Lyndon Johnson in terms of fiscal policy. So at the very worst time in the business cycle, Trump is massively increasing the structural deficit. When I say the very worst time, it's both in calendar time and in cycle time, because in calendar time, we're entering the 2020s when all 80 million baby boomers are going to retire. We're going to have 10 to 11,000 retirements a day for most of the decade. And by the end of the decade, there will be 80 million more people on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The cost of the welfare state is going to soar, even as the political environment will become totally non-functional because no one wants to pay more taxes. We're in a demographic and fiscal dead end. It's a very dangerous prospect and one with no obvious answer on how to escape.
You're just full of good news today, aren't you?
Well, not me. Try David Stockman.
Yeah.
Now, I guess my question is, should we be listening to these guys? And, you know, I have not considered guys like David Stockman to be conspiracy nuts or crazy young 24-year-old boys easily taken by the Bigfoot and QAnon theories. I just, you know, he just always seemed to me to be somebody who, a little bit of a crank around the edges, but conservative. And somebody who pretty much could tell what was happening and wanted to get us back to principle and didn't want to take the Keynesian route indefinitely. That's the kind of guy he is. So what is he overstating the case?
You know, guys with that much experience and that much life experience and that much knowledge, when they sound the alarm like that and when they say this is going to scare the world to death, which is another article that he wrote in 2015.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You have to kind of sit up and go, okay, I need to at least read what he says and take it in perspective with what's going on.
And, you know, it seems to me that the economy is being run by drunken sailors.
Yeah. Sailors who claim to be saviors.
Claim to be saviors. Yeah. And they're on speed, crack, and meth at the same time. And friends, we're still arguing over which presidential candidate is going to duct tape the gaping hole down in the hold of the Titanic. And I just don't think duct tape is going to do the job like it used to. Whether Biden or Trump brings John Maynard Keynes duct tape back down to the hold in the Titanic, I don't think it really matters that much. It's just at some point, duct tape doesn't work like it used to. And duct tape doesn't do well underwater. That's one more thing. You ever tried duct tape underwater?
Yeah.
And it doesn't do a good job.
And you've said that the ship has already sunk.
It's not quite glub glub. I'm not saying it's glub glub. I'm just saying there's water in the engine room. That's all I'm saying. Well, friends, I'm not sure it's in the stateroom yet because we're still partying up here. It's still a party in the stateroom, my friends. We're having a party in the stateroom. Engine room, well, we're hearing somebody in the walkie-talkie and sounds a little more glub-glub down there.
And when it reaches the boilers, things explode.
And so there are some things we know and there's some things we don't know. Now, one thing we know is that we are where we have not been before. We have a national economy and a number of world economies that are just soaked in debt. The debt to GDP ratio is beyond anything we've ever done before. So we know that. We know that we've taken a 3-inch rubber band. We stretched it 100 feet. Now, and we're going to go to 120 feet. When does the rubber band break? I don't think we understand this. We know that we have stretched a 3-inch rubber band 100 feet. Now, the question is, can we go another 20 feet? That's the question. There's just a lot of unknowns here. Economists speak of uncharted territory. Now, that's not just the David Stockmans. Just about every other economist out there is saying we are in uncharted territory. We don't know the magnitude of the correction, the length of the correction, the fallout of the correction. The economic corrections are almost always attended by political revolutions, world wars, decentralizations, or geopolitical boundary shifts. I mean, we know this kind of stuff from history. We just don't know when it happens, why it happens, how big it's going to be, how significant it's going to be. And when the economy breaks, friends, the whole discussion changes. The issues shift to a whole different set of issues. Remember that Far Side cartoon where the guys are fishing out in the lake? Two of these, you know, the big fat guys are fishing, and the nuclear bombs are going off over the mountains in the distance. And one of the guys says, "Tell you what this means, Hal. Forget the limits." So there are points at which, friends, the whole discussion changes. Okay, we don't have to pay much attention to the limits anymore. When we begin to see the economies bust, nobody's going to be talking about whether Johnny gets to wear a dress to school and run on the girls' track team and use the girls' restroom at his little private school. What private school?
Yeah.
I mean, there are no private schools. Nobody can afford private schools anymore. I mean, give me a break. Nobody's going to be talking about whether we have to wear a mask into the restaurants.
What restaurant?
What restaurants? Yeah. Exactly. There are cards that are played that change the whole game in history. And friends, you need to understand that God is in control of that because he's the one who deals the cards. There are cards that are played, and that will change the whole game in history. But there's something that doesn't change. Whether you live in AD 20 in Jerusalem or AD 40 in Jerusalem or AD 69 Jerusalem, there's still some things that don't change. And what is that? Repent, or you will likewise perish. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear a good fruit or is cut down and thrown into the fire. In Acts 17, verse 30, this would be roughly AD 60. Now, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Friends, the gospel never changes. The call to faith, the call to repentance, the call to humble ourselves, seek God's face, and turn from our wicked ways, that doesn't change. There are some things that don't change, and the message remains the same. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me. Coming back to some of the conservative commentators that have had a modicum of sense over the last 40 years. And this from the Reagan cabinet, Paul Craig Roberts, now 81 years of age. He was Secretary of the Treasury, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan. He's 81 years old now. He's a Stanford economics professor and associate editor of the Wall Street Journal. So no slouch. This guy's no slouch. David Stockman wasn't a slouch. Paul Craig Roberts, not a slouch. I've respected these guys. I've read their articles, their editorials for, you know, what, 20, 30 years. And so my dad sends me off this editorial from Paul Craig Roberts that came in, I think, yesterday. And here's what Paul Craig Roberts is saying as he's responding to the 2020 elections. The West has thrown itself into the wastebasket of history. That's the way the title went for this editorial. And again, Paul Craig Roberts, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury and Stanford economics professor and also associate editor of the Wall Street Journal. Now, he's come back out of retirement and he's continuing to interact with what's going on in American geopolitics. And here's what Paul Craig Roberts is saying. The problem that our country faces, that the Democrats, the media, know as well as the red states, the election was stolen. They organized the theft. They regard the theft as necessary in order to get rid of Trump and so forth. For the Democrats, media, and Antifa fascists who conducted the Kristallnachts against white businesses, getting rid of Trump is more important than Democratic outcomes. The abandonment of democracy by one of the two major parties indicates that, as occurred in Rome, power is now the highest value. If the theft stands, there will never again be a free election in the United States. Elections will be programmed to serve the ruling elite until the pretense of democracy is discarded. In earlier columns, I forecast that so much hatred of Trump has been generated that calls for retribution against Trump supporters would follow his orchestrated defeat, and they have. I also forecast that Trump would be denied media forums in which to make his case before the people, and he has. By the way, if you want to know what Trump thinks, you pretty much have to go to his Twitter now. Nobody else is covering it. Here is the situation in America today. Okay, this is Paul Craig Roberts. The media is 100% against Trump Americans, which is roughly 49% of the American voting public. The media is 100% against Trump Americans. So is the Democrat Party, the CIA, the FBI. The foreign media is also against Trump Americans. Who is for them? No one. They're isolated. They're unorganized. In America today, Trump Americans are demonized worse than Jews were in Nazi Germany. Few of the threatened are aware of the severity of the threat. An Australian correspondence for the magazine Chronicles, the November 2020 issue, brought the issue to the point. The correspondent wrote that as the left has defined whiteness as pathological racism, the demanded resolution of this white racism would logically mean the outright abolition of the people who embody the pathological racism. In other words, death camps. Yep. For Trump Americans. Okay, that's Paul Craig Roberts. I mean, are these guys paranoid? I mean, this is hyperbole? Death camps for Trump supporters in the next 4 years? You know, are these guys overstating the case? Now, AOC is threatening.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Right. She's threatening. She's saying, we're coming after you. Yeah. That's the most recent thing.
By the way, she went by Sandy before she ran for office. So it's Sandy Cortez.
Sandy Cortez.
It doesn't have quite the same ring. Doesn't have quite the same, cachet,
no.
Right?
No. Well, friends, I don't know. You want to interact on that one still? I mean,
what am I going to do? Say no or yes? And then what? Then where am I?
Well, of course, you know, none of us are prophets. And no, that's one of the issues, right?
And that's the problem. If he had said, "Thus saith the Lord," then I'd be very skeptical.
Yeah, but he didn't say that. He just said,
this is what
looks,
I see.
Looks a lot like what I've seen before in history. That's what he's saying.
Yep.
It looks a lot like Nazi Germany.
Yep.
But it can never happen here. Think I'll have another beer.
Yeah, I've never said
like
those
that?
Lines.
You never said that line?
No, never say that line. It can never happen here, because I've seen too much of what can never happen here over the course of the past 40 years.
All right, friends. Now, do understand that the stats bear out that there is serious division in the country. No question about that. And here's the other thing. It didn't happen overnight. That's one thing. People say, well, yeah, there's a lot of division, but we'll take care of it. The problem is the division has happened over about 30 years.
Yeah.
The division has come slowly but surely. Yeah, Roe v. Wade helped. Yeah, Lawrence v. Texas helped. Yeah. You know, there are things that have helped it along over 30, 40 years. But just before the November election, the Gallup poll found a 92% spread, friends. A 92% spread. This is the biggest in history. A 92% spread on party differences in presidential job approval ratings on Trump. That was up from 86% in 2018. So he's up to 92%. And that's by far the largest spread on presidential approval in history. That's huge, my friends. That's huge. 92% partisan spread on presidential job approval. 92% spread. For Obama, it was 76%.
Wow.
Clinton, it was 61%. Reagan, it was 60%. Carter is 29%. Nixon, 44%. We're at a 92% polarization ratio. I'm just using stats here. I'm not saying what's going to happen in the future. I'm just saying this is where we are. And it has steadily increased through the 90s, through the thousands, up through the teens. Here we are, friends, 30 years of gradual, slow but steady separation of the United States of America. You got 49% over here and 51% over there. Now, we don't know who's got the 51% because there's some shenanigans going on in Philadelphia. By the way, I told somebody I smell a rat in Philadelphia. Not the first time anybody smelled a rat in Philadelphia. Remember, Patrick Henry smelled a rat in Philadelphia. Mm. We're back to smelling rats in Philadelphia, Bill. Mm. You smell a rat in Philadelphia, Bill?
Yeah. Nevada, yeah. Georgia.
Yeah. All right. Well, friends, I guess one of the questions, are we really this far down the pike? And that's the question a lot of people are asking there. And people, you know, ordinary people in our churches are asking us these questions. I mean, where are we? What's going to happen? What happens to a nation where there's a 92% presidential approval spread between Republicans and Democrats for the latest president?
And that leads to fear. That leads to fear on the part it shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
But it leads to fear and fear-mongering.
Oh, yeah.
On the part of those who want to influence the masses.
If for a second, you conclude that God is not in control, if for a second you say, well, you know, Jesus is not on the right hand of the Father, and he is not far above principalities and powers, if for a minute you think somehow all of this is happening by the forces of darkness, by the forces of Satan, by the forces of evil conspiracies, and God is not in control of it, friends, you're abandoning faith to that extent. So don't do that. Continue to believe and to know that God is in control. For of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Nevertheless, don't be surprised if bad things happen in a fallen world. So that's the other thing. And as Christians, we are just as sure as God's sovereignty and, of course, his protection and provision of his people, as we are of the depravity of human nature. The point at which you release one of those fundamental beliefs, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to perceive the times and you're trying to know what to do.
Because it comes down to who is sovereign. Is it God or man?
Or who's pretending to be sovereign.
Yeah.
Man pretends to be sovereign.
It comes down to jurisdiction. Who has the right to speak law? Who has the right to say this is right and this is wrong?
Human nature is depraved, no question about it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Hey, wicked people have done wicked things for a very long time. We've talked about that before. And we're not beyond the capabilities of the Third Reich or the Bolsheviks. As Bill mentioned, they were evil. They were unregenerate. They're post-Christians. That's what Nazi Germany was. It was post-Christian. It wasn't Christian. It was post-Christian. It was apostate Christian. That's exactly what Stalin's mother wanted him to be a priest. He decided against it, became an atheist, and probably one of the greatest killers or one of the most prolific mass murderers in all of history. So again, these guys have rejected Christ, and we see much of that in our nation today. The nation is absorbed in violent pornography, violent television like The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Hannibal Slasher. These are the big TV deals today. Gramsci cancel culture has been fairly successful. The cultural hegemony is progressing nicely. And we know that we have these data points. But the big question, I think, is this. Will the evangelical church today be as weak as the evangelicals who kowtowed to Hitler in the 1932 election, or the Orthodox church leaders who kowtowed to Lenin and Stalin? That's my question. Will the evangelical – I think we need to be asking questions like this, Bill. Fundamentally, will there be – courageous, faith-filled pastors who will stand up by the tens of thousands and say, no way, no way, no way. That is, they'll stand up and they'll say, no, we are going to stand for righteousness. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in an upcoming program. But the big question is, will the Christians stand when the revolutions begin to eliminate Christians? Now, what do we do? Well, I don't think your biggest risk is political repercussions. I think at this point it's Gramsci and shame culture. You're risking losing your job these days. Already we've got friends who have lost their corporate jobs. Just ran into a guy on Sunday, not in our church, but from a different church. And he mentioned to me that he lost his job. I think he'd been with the company, some big corporation, for 20 years. And the reason, Bill, he refused to rat on the other employees who apparently might not comply to the Gramscian culture. They're supposed to monitor the social media of other employees.
Yeah, we've become a snitch society.
Yeah. And he had to sign a document that he would be a faithful snitch. That was the point. He had to agree he would snitch and he would rat on his fellow employees if they did not comply with the Gramscian culture, if they did not, you know, support BLM or if they didn't support LGBT, he was required by company policy to rat on fellow employees, and he refused to sign the document.
Now, parents, you're thinking, well, that's not going to happen to me. I'm self-employed. My kids are here at home. But for all of you who have your children in the secular schools, that's going to flow. That's going to. It's going to be part of the education of your children. They're going to rat on you.
Sounds like 1984. Remember the scene in 1984 where the kids turned in their parents? Remember that?
Yeah.
That's one of the most remarkable scenes in Orwell's classic book. But yeah, there are going to be a lot of rats, a lot of ratting going on because they're going to be required to do it by the Gramscian culture, friends. This is cultural Marxism, and this is the way it goes. Could you imagine that happening in 1987, you know, something like that? Can't even imagine somebody required to rat on fellow employees if they didn't, you know, comply with certain cultural standards. Wow. Okay, well, one of the questions folks have asked, and this question came up most recently from somebody who was visiting our home on Sunday. We had a bunch of people over. We had a little discussion on the election. And one of the questions was, at what point do you flee? At what point do you leave? If you have to flee a country or state, then where would you go and when would you flee? That was the question. And my answer is very simple. You continue to disciple the nations. You stay on mission. Jesus gave us a mission, okay? 2,000 years ago, the captain, the Lord, our Lord gave us a mission. And Bill, I'm staying on mission, and you are too.
Yeah.
We're staying on mission. We're discipling the nations. And Jesus did say, if they persecute you in this city, flee to the next, but you dust off your feet, meaning that
only
it
after,
testifies against them.
Only after you have done everything to persuade them to change their wicked ways. It is Matthew 18. And once they refuse to change, then you can shake the dust off your feet. You can't just go, I'm upset about the color of carpet. I'm upset about the choice of worship music, and I'm going to dust my feet and go somewhere else.
No.
That's not it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about dealing with people from a biblical perspective and approaching them as brothers in Christ and saying, here is what Scripture says. Here is what you are doing. Bring yourself in line with Scripture.
Continue to disciple the nations, friends, wherever you are. It's true. You may be persecuted out. They may say, we don't want you anymore. We don't want Christ here in the state of Colorado, and we will put your pastors in prison. Now, there are points at which that will happen.
Yeah.
And if that happens, you dust your feet off, and that is a signal that this nation or this city-state is ready for judgment, ready for God's judgment. By the way, you don't flee out of fear. Never flee out of fear. You go somewhere else where the message is received. You go somewhere else where you're more likely to receive. Now, here's one more point I made, is that the average family is not a pastor. The average person's not a pastor. And so your responsibility as a mom and dad is to disciple your children. You are to carry on with the discipleship of your kids. That's your number one responsibility, mom and dad. And if that becomes impossible, because of regulations relating to home education, family discipleship, or what have you, then you should take an opportunity to move somewhere else where you have the freedom to continue on mission. And that is what? To disciple the nation and to disciple the children that God has given to you. If you have to flee a country or state, then be prepared to flee. And let's be sure that we have good networks in place, networks of Christians, networks of churches. Travel is easier today. Now, of course, governments track people and it pretty much obliterated privacy. But hey, travel is easier today. And one more thing I want to add to this. Take heart, my friends. God is in control of the future. And here's what's been happening for the last 6 to 8 years. It's called the Brexit wild card. And Donald Trump did not invent this. Donald Trump didn't organize Brexit, my friends. No. There is a decentralization happening in the power structures of this world. So be aware that there is a Brexit wild card. There is a decentralizing wild card, and it could be Republicans, that is conservatives, that is Christians, having some opportunity for some freedom still in Texas, Florida, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma. Republicans have been moving south for a while. So we don't know the cards that will be played. We don't know the cards God will deal for the future. Just let's move ahead in faith. As Bill said, no fear. We don't fear the future. We don't fear the winds and the waves. We trust God, but we're also prepared. Trust God. Keep your powder dry. I just use that metaphorically. But friends, take responsibility, yes, but trust in God. Don't be afraid for the future. Indeed, there will be. Trust me on this one. There will be opportunities to disciple the nations in the years to come. You say, why is that? Because Jesus is in charge and he told us to do it. And he added one more thing. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast, friends. I'd encourage you to my book, The Story of Freedom, which gives you a little more on how to pursue freedom and when flight is appropriate. If you're interested in these questions, simply pick up a copy of The Story of Freedom from our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.